crafted for speed. Tested and worn by Bukayo Saka. The New Balance Furon V8 refines the ultra-lightweight, precision, strike-focused design for an even greater sense of speed. A new speed control stud is designed to support control during sudden stops, sharp pivots, and moves used by the fastest players on the pitch, like Saka himself. Experience engineered minimalism crafted to support explosive movement and the sharpest of touches. Learn more and purchase a Furon at newbalance.com/soccer.
League of Ireland Late Night in partnership with Rocksure on Off the Ball.
Well, if Daniel Kelly won that header, you clip that and you save that in the Shelbourne folklore.
League of Ireland Late Night, live every Friday from 10 on Twitter Spaces.
Off the Ball Breakfast
with UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
All right, we have a show for you today. Welcome along. We have coming your way Jonathan Wilson at 8:05, going to preview the Champions League final. We've Michael Gallagher, the sports editor of the Mayo News, talking to us about a tumultuous week for Mayo on and off the field. That's at 8:30. And two of the toughest defenders ever to do it, Eamon McGee and Ryan McMenamin, are going to talk to us about a crisis in defending, or else the golden age of forward play. But before that, we say, far more importantly, welcome back, Colin Buick. The man, the myth, the legend. How are you?
Hiya, Ger. How are you? Well, I like the ensemble pink shirt and burgundy jumper.
There you go.
Nice.
Very past remarkable on your return. That's exactly what we missed.
Just remarkable is what it looks like. Hi, Arthur.
Hey, things. How are you?
Thank you very much.
Good time away?
Yeah, very good time. I found a football in the office. And
there are many footballs in the office.
Dribbled it into the studio, but... That's what we're all here for, you know. You forget it's for the sport we're talking about, and it's not. It's actually not often I have a ball at my feet anymore. I'm trying to get a game of ball going on the north side.
Game of ball,
of Dublin.
I noticed you asked everybody except me, even though I lived the closest to you. It was like, I'm going to spread this far and wide. You know, remember when you were a child in primary school and they taught you about how the old way of sowing seeds was called broadcast. They would literally fuck it out there. And wherever it landed, it grew.
Would you relax?
It didn't. It's like, we get a game going. And it's like literally...
Do you know who I ran into last week? Was Dara Curran, the Guinness guru. You know the Guinness guru?
I do, yeah.
I ran into him. And sure, he lives down the road from me. So I said, do you want to get a game of ball going?
You should ask it anyone.
Yeah. And I got, I'd say about three or four other people that I know that live in the north side of Dublin, like, yeah, I'll play, right? So everyone's up for it in theory.
There you go, yeah.
And there's pitches galore. Still can't get a game going.
Did you ask Keith?
Yeah, oh, sure, Keith's mad. Like, the thing with Keith Tracy now, I'd be saying, do you want to play? He'd be like, I'd be mad up for it, yeah.
I'd be too good, though.
Yeah, I'd be mad up for it. And I'd kind of saying, like, I'd say you have great contacts, do you? To get this going. He'd be like, yeah, just give me a shout whenever it's sorted. So it's back on me then to organise this. But I'd love a game of ball. If anyone's out there on the north side of Dublin that has a game going that can take on about three or four extra lads, possibly five or six, that'd be amazing.
Because
you
don't want a pre-existing game.
They're the easiest to get involved in. You just need to get into a game.
Well,
I remember we played this league.
There's all the baggage of the people who hate each other and the two who take it too seriously. So you're like, oh God.
Why the Astro Culture is a great great series. That would be. We had a league in Cork back in the day, and there was two ringers who just shut up and was like, can we join an existing team? They're unbelievable. They're unbelievable. Like they helped us win the league. Like So.
Oh, you want a proper serious game where there's a league and stuff?
I want a variety. I want a social game. I want a technical game.
DCU is good for that.
There's loads of pitches. Just got to get the game going.
0879 180 180 if you'd like to make friends with Colm in IRL, as the kids would say.
How have you been?
We've been great.
Yeah, busy.
Doing some excellent shows, you know.
Yeah.
Out here really knocking strange. It out every day, day in, day out, showing up.
Really strong. You've enjoyed it?
Best ability is availability.
Big hitters in that seat.
Was there, yeah?
Big hitters.
Oh, shit, man. Yeah. I know, it's good for the show, though.
What's good for the soul is
the most important thing. So what do you talk about? Nora's gone. GA's gone mad. Loads happening. The Mayo story's crazy, isn't it?
The demise of Cork Hurling.
The demise of Cork Hurling? No. After the comfortable victory over Waterford?
No.
My Waterford people are very, very depressed. They feel like they're never going to get out.
Rope-a-doping us. Well, they're going to change
I was with these people, and for the last 10 or 15 minutes, they gave no interest. Honestly, they're like, we're never going to get out of this. can think about like the how they felt after the Clare victory. Wasn't that long ago? When was that?
Well, no, second week of it, so whenever. Less than a month.
Yeah, because they didn't play the first week. Yeah, so that was their first game.
It's very difficult for Waterford, under their current situation, to get out of Munster when they've been playing Division 2 hurling, effectively. Whereas other counties, like a Limerick, for example, it doesn't matter because they know what success is. I would say Limerick could go down, Clare could go down, maybe to a lesser extent Cork, but more than likely Cork could go down and they'd be grand come the Munster Championship. Whereas Waterford actually need to build something where they have faith and belief and they've tested themselves. The damage done over the last couple of years hasn't been unspooled just yet. And this is Peter Queeley's first year, right? Like,
yeah, there's
obviously has been involved before, but I think that Waterford aren't as far away as like it shouldn't be the pall of doom and gloom that we see.
Well, they're improved and they feel better about themselves this year than they did this time last year, but it's still the same result. So that's
I think they did better last year, didn't they?
I think they got a draw under the Queeley setup.
Yeah.
And they dropped Desi Hutchinson, which is an interesting shout. He comes on. Ozzy Gleeson comes on.
Yeah.
And they had Sean Walsh was excellent in midfield for them. So they have players that's why they're most depressed about it. You know, they can't get out. But Cork responded very well. And Donegal losing, that caught me when I was away. That was a surprise. So we're going to chat about a bit of the art of the last defending.
Well, Eamon McGee was on with Owen last Friday and essentially broke the news that Sean Patton was out.
Right.
At which point I was like, well, that's a tasty price about Tyrone. And lo and behold, it's all proved.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a shock. I know Morris was talking in the paper and to us on Monday about it's not just the goalkeeper, but the goalkeeper is a massive, massive thing, particularly when it's Sean Patton. Like, one of the goals got kicked straight at the standing goalkeeper and was like, oof.
But even his distribution at the end, I think, did he say 5 of the last 6 or whatever went?
Yeah, they did balloon them down on top of they were at Michael Murphy and Tyrone were like, I think maybe what you're going to do here, I have an idea that maybe in the crisis moment, you're going to look for your best player.
For sure. I don't know the comparable length of their kicks, but Patton can really obviously drive it.
Yeah.
You might get a few extra yards on it, but because that's something you kind of see now as well. It's that when they keep going, if a keeper starts making mistakes, mistakes is a harsh call, but you know what I mean? If their team stops winning the kickouts, it can really happen quickly.
Yeah.
It can really, all of a sudden go very wrong.
I mean, even Cluxton that time, just before half time against Kerry, whatever year that was, it happens to everybody. So a mini dose of the yips for the goalkeeper is going to cause trouble. Will I do the newspaper headlines? Because there's lots in the papers today. Do we want to talk about Ronaldo? Ronaldo is
I missed this. Did Gianni Infantino go on a podcast with I Show Speed and said that Cristiano Ronaldo is available for hire for the Club World Cup?
He certainly let it be known that if anybody was interested, Ronaldo, they were going to find a way to get him to the Club World Cup because the team that he'd signed for, still refusing to. You know, he finished top scorer in the Saudi League. It was a great achievement. Ivan Toney was second top scorer. Karim Benzema was third top scorer. It's these are...
Ivan Toney back in the England squad?
How's John Duran getting on?
I should have looked.
Exactly.
Ivan Toney being back in the England squad is very interesting, right? Do you think there's any possibility in the future that maybe Thomas Tuchel ends up managing a team in Saudi?
that's a
that he's familiar with the league, you know? No, I'm not. I think that he's obviously been paying attention. And he's like, you know what, this isn't as bad as I thought. Maybe I should go out there and help grow the game.
Possibly, but I think he's just thinking short term. He's not thinking beyond basically 13, 14 months from now.
No.
So it's right, you got this guy who can... I suspect that's it, because I don't think he'll stay in that job any longer than that.
No, I don't think so either.
So it's he doesn't care about developing.
TT?
Yeah.
Same with HH Ireland, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it.
They're both in and out. Although he's going to be trying a few non-championship players in these games against Senegal and Luxembourg. No Sadio Mane, unfortunately. He's asked to be left out. They'll have.
Did he officially ask me that? Or is,
yeah,
is
that
he
was what that's fight? What Off the Ball's Newsround reported last night.
Right.
Yeah.
It's officially.
And he's not going to try any championship games. And then we have the story in the papers this morning. Quite interesting. We're going around a bit here, but this is worth saying. Finazaz, Middlesbrough's Finazaz had a good season, finished in double figures for goals and assists. Middlesbrough's second top scorer, I think, linked with a few tasty enough Premier League sides.
Leeds United and Bournemouth. Of those two,
Crystal
you think
Palace as well.
Maybe Bournemouth would be the one that you would try and sign for.
Palace.
Well, if you go to Palace, you might be a replacement or perceived as a replacement for Eberechi, and that would be.
Where's Eberechi going?
Somewhere, anywhere.
Well, you could stay. You could stay of European football now, of course.
Maybe, you maybe, know? But I suspect that you know, like Palace don't need to sell. They've a really rich owner, but that seems to be their model.
Mm. Jeez, you must have been delighted last Thursday morning, were you?
I'd say
the smugness was off the charts in the radar.
Life comes at you fast, though, doesn't it?
And then look what happened Monday.
There you go.
How do you explain that? Dan Bardell actually said that a few weeks ago. He said, like, I mean, we said the last few fixtures for Aston Villa. It's like, finished up at Old Trafford. They don't have a good record there.
No.
I was texting you there, and I was saying, like, are they playing against the record or the current side? Because it looks like the former.
Sorry, Man United also raised their game against the good teams.
Mm, not you know? Typically.
Well, did they not beat Man City this season?
Yeah, Man City in free fall. Didn't do too well, you know. It was a bad. That was a bad one for Villa.
United haven't raised their game many times. You could rattle off the games that they won in 2025 pretty quickly.
They just probably bottled it, Villa, did they?
It doesn't help when your goalkeeper gets sent off. No, they were bad.
That's
before
a big.
That.
That's a big.
They were
ball.
Bad. And in fairness, your captain was very honest, John McGinn, about the whole thing.
They were bad before that.
Yeah.
Their form hasn't been great for the last 5 or 6 weeks.
Their form has been good, but the results have looked tired.
The results have been good.
That's form, isn't it?
Well, they no, because they played really well at stages under Emery, and they've played really badly at stages under Emery, and sometimes when they play badly they can still get results. Sign of a good team is supposed to be getting a result when you're playing badly, and they nearly got one with 10 men if they hadn't been absolutely ridden by the referee.
Weird season overall. Like the Premier League, everyone's a bit disappointed with it. League was done both ends of the table early enough, and all that was left over was European football. The most interesting thing was Villa and Newcastle losing but still getting into the Champions League. But then you have a season of brilliant finalist winners like Newcastle and Crystal Palace and even Spurs winning. And I know Napoli won in Serie A a couple of seasons ago, but the Scott McTominay story is amazing. Even Romelu Lukaku. Sunderland's coming back up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
There's loads of cool things happening this season, but at the same time, everyone's a bit, oh yeah, okay, it's done. But are you ever really that excited the week after the Premier League season ends, being like, what a season that was? When was the last time we said that?
Well, I don't know. I don't think anybody...
Those Man City Liverpool years when Klopp was there, and there was like, 97, 96 is how it finished.
Yeah, it's just difficult for any non-Man City fan to be excited about Man City. And I think what's happened is that the non-Liverpool fans are not that happy about the title race because there was no title race. And Liverpool fans, I'd say, think this is one of the best seasons of all time. They were able to relax and enjoy the football over the last 2 months and look forward to a future. Like, I thought it was a pretty interesting season. I thought the quality of goals being scored, the quality of football that we're seeing is off the charts.
I see one of the contenders' match of the day's goal of the season was John Duran in September. Remember how good he was first half of the season?
Coming off the bench.
It was
remarkable.
Amir Zaki for Wigan. That little period, it was unbelievable for a while.
He was better than that.
High octane version of Zaki. Marcus Rashford, they don't want him, but he's available. I thought you wanted him.
We'll see. I think the Champions League money was important in terms of securing him. 13 appearances for John Duran, 8 goals. That's a good strike.
Solid.
You take that. 8 goals every 13 games in Saudi.
So you're happy to...
Transfer market has a current market value of €35 million, so you buy him back.
You're happy to wave goodbye to Rashford? And he's like...
Well, I would take him next season.
He's like, goodbye, good luck. I don't recall wishing you good luck. So he'd go.
Oh, no, I think there's mutual respect from Villa and Rashford.
So you'd keep him? You'd stop up to €40 million?
It depends on what... Like... There are other... It turns out that you don't have to shop in the Man United superstore.
That's what I'm saying.
Other places to shop.
What do you want to do with him?
I'd let him go now. For the 40 million and the wages, you're like, well, we can do slightly better than that.
You see, that's what I suspected when the deal was announced in January. It's like, what's he going to do to prove this deal that is actually justifiable?
If he played over the last month And if he continued to improve at the rate he was improving, you might have thought this is worth having if you're in the Champions League next season. But they're going to be in the Europa League next season, and they'll probably be grand in the Europa League all the way through to quarterfinals, like, without him. So you don't actually need him. And they probably need a slightly smaller squad and a slightly cheaper squad than they have at the minute for next season to make sure that they're on the right side of PSR.
Mm. But they'll need someone to fire them back into the Champions League places.
Yeah, and I mean,
what's happening with Asensio?
He's available. Like a cut price deal of 10 million was the figure. Paris Saint-Germain are like, we have enough players up here. Yeah. We've already got rid of him. We don't need him.
So he'd be handy for you. Versatile.
Yeah. I think, well, it was before when the game was getting out of control, but not yet out of control. It was him who was over talking to Unai Emery. And apparently he's like Emery's favourite player. Yeah. And then he was the one that got sacrificed when Martinez had his rush of blood to the head. And you're like, I'm not sure I would have done that. I'm going to take somebody else off. Or, you know, because he has the smarts to actually keep the ball and get involved. Anyway, he was off. And that could easily be his last appearance there too. The Manchester United situation, obviously. The Cunha deal is agreed. Ruben Amorim is saying we're going to trim the squad. Let's see.
Yeah, he's spinning it now. You see, no European football means we can have a smaller squad.
If you're Chelsea, would you give Man United the 5 million and Jadon Sancho back?
Oh, they probably will. They probably won't buy him.
I think it's a bit like the Ange conversation. So I remember asking John Duggan here before I went away, if Spurs win the Europa League, would Ange still go? And John, speaking on behalf of a lot of Spurs fans, be like, yeah, it's done. Now he's won it and we're a few days removed and just know what's happening with Ange Postecoglou and Spurs. Like, is he staying or what?
I think they're looking for a replacement.
I think if Sancho scored a brace tonight in the Conference League final, plays really well, they might hold on to him. It could be that reactionary to a game.
They did pick him at the weekend and it was such a big game. And they've picked him a good bit recently. But I would certainly give the 5 million back and say no thanks and look elsewhere. You see, Mikhail Mudryk is floating around.
He's going to the game tonight.
Potentially he's going to go in full kit and pick up his medal, even though he's currently banned for 12 months. Maresca was asked about it and he was like, oh, is he here? Is he? is he coming or is he here? So obviously they've got full control of all of their available assets at Chelsea.
He's done a lucky all right job there, hasn't he?
Lucky under Maresca.
Yeah, he was angry. He was angry afterwards, the Forest game. He said, you all doubted me. This is the same guy who did like write off his own side winning the title.
It's so difficult to assess because they've spent like a quarter of a billion more than anybody else.
Yeah.
Or is it a billion more than anybody else?
It's absurd money.
And yet it is. He's actually done an okay job. But And they do have the youngest squad in the Premier League.
They do.
And yet it's the most expensively assembled squad in the history of world football. And yet he's doing a good job, even though they were like 20 points off the...
It's because no one pays attention to Chelsea.
It's mad, isn't it?
Nobody has any interest in him. Honestly, they just go by. They're like an afterthought for people. They're by far the least assessed team out of the ones that have qualified for the Champions League. We barely talk about Chelsea.
I wonder, is that a product of... Because even now, like when you'd be kind of... You'd consider yourself fairly on top of things. I'd struggle to tell you who's playing for them. I've no relationship with those players at all. Like, there's just kind of, it's just a load of kind of just new men in the door. It's just like, I don't know, or any of these, you know, you know under now, whatever, but like, it's very strange dynamic.
Yeah,
there's no legacy.
They don't have a relatable core.
Yeah, you have like
a Hinsdorf. Who's their definitive goalkeeper? Who's their definitive centre half?
It's very strange.
Who's their midfielder?
It's a very, very strange.
Cole Barmer and... A support cast.
Yeah, him falling off a little bit probably didn't help.
But the two midfielders have developed into brilliant.
See, that's the other side of it. It's the reason they've got into the Champions League place is like they're actually a very good squad. Yeah. Moses, just people can't get stuck into them.
Moses Caicedo's stats are off the charts. I don't know.
When Romeo Lavia plays, they're a much better side.
Yeah, and so
they have a World Cup winner in midfield.
So I was asking off air before we came on, would Ronaldo for the World Club Cup actually be not a bad signing for Chelsea? Now, I have to caveat that with, I think Ronaldo's a bad signing for everybody.
Yeah, well, exactly, right? But Ronaldo's only signing for himself, like Infantino thing.
In this one instance, right, where they don't have a goal scorer they can rely on. So Nicholas Jackson's back in the team today, having been served a 3-match ban for getting stupidly sent off against Newcastle. So you're like, are you going to the Club World Cup with him? I mean, you are, but would you not just, for the shits and giggles?
You see, Ronaldo just wants to get to 1,000 goals, and I think he's on about 936. So he needs about two more seasons left in professional football. So in Ronaldo's world, why would he go to ultra-competitive Premier League where he's not going to score that many?
Oh, no. Sorry, he's only signing for this tournament. That's it.
So, oh, sorry, you're... Sorry, you...
Excuse me, the Club World Cup.
No Premier League.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Did you know... I don't know if you're paying...
Absolutely.
No, I realise nobody's paying attention to the Club World Cup, right?
And you said from day one, in fairness to you,
and it's about
once it starts happening, people get into it.
Yeah, but did you know that there's actually, after the group stages, you can then register players again?
Yeah.
Did you know this? So there's like a transfer window, and then there's another transfer window in the middle of the tournament.
The 1st to the 10th of June, window's open. Closes, comes back on again. Yeah, totally.
That is
to answer your Chelsea question of Club World Cup, totally. Any like Infantino said, just tire him for that. As what he does after that, like, I imagine he'll stay in that part of the world, maybe go to MLS. But he just wants to get to 1,000 goals. He doesn't care who he does it for. He's literally playing for himself.
Yeah.
So whoever wants him in that regard, that's fair enough. But Chelsea, I don't know. I mean, I'll watch the game tonight. I'll be very interested about it. A lot of people in this side of the world will be watching for Antony and Real Betis and how well he's been doing. Which is kind of a remarkable story in itself, how much better he is. He did reveal that he was like massively depressed that United couldn't do anything, was sickened by how he was playing. It sounded like Angel Di Maria was the same at United.
And would you not have not taken him back now? Kind of say, ah, look.
Nah. He's happy now. He's happy now because he doesn't play for United. I'll like take any money. Like, you're going to lose what you paid for him, but you might get something. Again, a bit like the Jadon Sancho thing. If Antony scores twice tonight, Real Betis win. Another 10 million added to his value. Sell him, get 40 million for him if you're lucky. Take it. Wish him well.
Not too well.
No.
Do okay. Go forth and multiply, but not too often.
You'll be delighted to know, lads, Rafa Nadal got plaque, permanent plaque, and Roland Garros court and Philippe Chatrier.
It's his footprint.
Yeah, footprint with the
Hollywood plaque star.
Though, footprint with his name on it. And if you wipe away the clay, you'll see it. It's a beautiful white. And he was in bits. Hasn't got the hair transplant, which I respect. Properly balding these days. I say, like, you spend your whole career with this headband around, like, you're going to destroy your hair, right? So he doesn't mind about that.
The other lads are doing all right.
The big four were there with him. Andy Murray always feels embarrassed about being with that company because he's always I don't mind doing it. But it is funny, right? How, like, you see genuinely his friends at Roger Federer. There's an actual warmth between them, which is fairly cool considering the actual rivalry that they had, like, the amazing rivalry that they had. It's hard to think of another one like that in sport, where two huge rivals are such close friends. And he likes Andy Murray too, there's a relationship. But there's only, at best, respect with Djokovic. There is still an arm's length relationship there. And even you could see it when the four of them are hanging out, that he's the outsider despite being the best, on paper anyway. It's kind of the three lads and him. And that's all he wants. He just wants to feel loved. That's all he wants.
Who, Djokovic?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, there's an emptiness in his life for some reason.
You know what happened to him? Last week, the Geneva Open.
He won his 100th title.
Now, it was only an ATP 250.
There you go.
Which basically means you're playing against whoever you want.
Top 250 in the world, yeah.
And that was his first Andy Murray-less tournament. And he won his first round here. He's on course for 25.
Andy Murray holding him back. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I don't think Murray was too happy he didn't want to be a coach, really. He tried it out, it didn't work. But I'd say he's working for a very intense individual. You know, the Cristiano Ronaldo of tennis. He just wants to get to that landmark and then leave. If he was to win the French Open, which I don't think he will, but if he was to win it, Djokovic, very feasible that he walks away.
Oh, he's already talking about it.
Not my 25, but he doesn't even with the rest of the year, like, don't even bother.
Yeah, he's already talking about, like, retirement is on his mind. And once that happens, you know, it's inevitable. I don't know if everyone's been paying attention to the situation with regards to the England football team. Mary Earps has announced her shock retirement from international football after losing her starting place with England. So she got dropped last year, but 5 weeks before the tournament, she's like, no, I am out of here. I've had enough of you guys. Thanks very much for everything. I was the BBC Sports Personality of the Year. We've won together. We've lost together. We've cried together. We've been happy together. But screw you, I'm out of here. Telegraph having a totally normal one for this. Luke Edwards, Northern Football Correspondent. Earl's petulant decision betrays an ego that is out of control. Earp's frustration at losing her status as first choice to Chelsea goalkeeper betrays an ego that has got out of control. Telegraph Sport have been told that Earp's was not handling her demotion well, which came almost a year ago. She was perhaps not being as supportive as she could have been of her younger rival. She felt she was the better goalkeeper and should be number one and behaved like it. It was last summer against the Republic of Ireland that Earp's behaviour appeared odd. Named as a substitute, she decided to get off the bench and warm up around the side of the pitch. She was not coming on. She wanted to make sure the public saw her. It felt at the time like a me, in inverted commas, moment from someone who wanted to ensure she remained in the spotlight. That might be unfair, but in all my years covering football at club and international level, I've never seen a substitute goalkeeper do anything like that before. Get out there and warm up. No. So,
when you get BBC Sports Personality of the Year, it's hard to move on. When you get to that level of respect and fame and adoration, I would say.
After the Lord Mayor show. She plays Paris Saint-Germain.
Yeah.
She's only 32 as a goalkeeper. She's pretty young. It is a little bit... screw you guys.
It's the rich get richer, you know. When you get it to a certain level, you'd think that's sufficient for a human being, but humans want more all the time.
OTB Breakfast is with UPMC Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
I was struck by Ruben Amorim's speech on the pitch.
I turned it off. I didn't watch it.
It was so good.
Like, you're all banging on about it. So go on, give me the
WWE product. Style cutting a promo as he walking back and forth with the mic, head down. And I thought he was liable to say anything. Like, I thought like he could start picking out individual performances from the season. You know, he could have been like, you know, Garnacho, like, what were you doing against Bournemouth in February? What was that about? That crowd. I thought he was going to start picking them out one by one. But it was... Like, I kind of burst out laughing when he was like, I want to apologise for this disaster season. There's nothing hidden, like, nothing hidden. And you have to bear in mind that this is what he's saying to the world. He has a microphone to the world. And you only imagine what he's saying behind closed doors. The thing with Amorim is that the only exposure we've had of him is him explaining to us how bad his side are. Like, that's really the only version of him we've ever gotten. Like, so we don't know what he's like as a consistently like winning manager or something like that. It's the opposite with Slot. I was always saying throughout the season, wait till Liverpool go on a run, then we'll see what Arne Slot is like. And it never happened because they were so consistently brilliant. It's the opposite for Amorim. We don't actually know what he's like in normal circumstances. He's been constantly explaining this crisis to people. And then, but you always get a sense that he comes across very well. He's a very likeable guy. I was like, God, is there an edge to him at all? And then you hear what he says to Garnacho in front of the whole team, which is... just read it even this morning. There's a fresh report in the wording. It was like, you better pray a club comes in for you. That's in front of everyone.
All right.
What do you do when someone's that honest, but that honest with a smile and a bit of charm? What can you do? But is he going too far the other way and his own players are thinking like, Ruben, would you relax for just a second? Can you just have some belief in us?
Garnacho now is the new Rashford, Sancho, Anthony
Ronaldo,
who the club have made very clear is available, right? And Garnacho wants to leave. Does that not reduce the amount of money that, say, a Napoli or whoever might be interested in signing him have to pay? They're like, yeah, we'll get him on the last day of the transfer window.
Totally. But Amorim, I don't think he's ruthless in that regard. Like, this is a guy who said, after the Europa League final, I will leave and I won't take severance. And then Gary Neville comes on and says, Ruben, don't say that. He comes on in his podcast and says, you don't offer yourself up like that. I don't think he cares that United will get less money for Garnacho. This is a guy...
money for the club to rebuild.
Of course, and you'd explain that to him. And you know what he would say? He was like, yeah, you're right. Yeah, I get that, yeah. But I can't... you know, that's the way I operate. It's a bit like a system. I'm not moving from a 3-4-3. This is how I play. I will not move. That's the one thing he seems to be totally immovable about in his media dealings. You're dealing with a guy that... I don't think you've seen the likes of him at that level of the game. When Amorim leaves
what's
United,
the difference between him and Andre Villas-Boas?
When Amorim leaves United, there won't be this big, huge article in The Athletic is like, I'll tell you the real Amorim. We know the real Amorim because he tells us everything that's on his mind.
But what is the difference between him and Andre Villas-Boas?
Oh, what do you mean?
He said, we've never seen anybody like this before. Villas-Boas would say similar stuff, but was in London and was getting pilloried for it.
I don't think so, other than... age profile, I wouldn't have immediately paired those two together.
It's a slight difference. I mean, I know it's funny we don't actually really consider him as much, but like obviously like Amorim has a completely different background. I suppose Villas-Boas was part of that kind of, that's brief turn there where all of a sudden, like, post Mourinho, like, he didn't really need to have much of a career of French football, like, you know, Amorim was Portuguese international. There's a bit more weight. I think he says things with a bit more, there's an authority that comes with it, or at least thing, like, at least from fellow, ex-fellow pro to fellow pro. So I think there's a slight difference with it. But I suppose was never in the kind of position the thing is in either necessarily. I know it wasn't, it didn't end well, but
he took over Chelsea.
No, sorry, I know that, but I just mean in terms of it being an absolute shit show.
Yeah, that's with Chelsea and then with Spurs. Like, it just ended badly at Spurs because they lost like 6-0 and 5-1 in the last two games and they had to get rid of him because the wheels fell off the tenure. But it's different because of what Amorim, like, we've seen the same press conference. We've seen it like a dozen times. It's still amazing every time. What's he saying in private?
I think he's saying the same thing. I think it would be too hard for there if you had that artifice where you're gar public and gar private from Philadelphia, here I come. It's like, no, it's just, you say this, you can't. I think it's going to be very similar. So you're suggesting slightly contradictory things there. There won't be an Athletic article saying, what was he saying in private? But actually,
no, it's an exasperated version of what he has been saying in public. But
okay.
There'd be no detail that would surprise me about, I would say, every other manager that I've seen at that level. It's like, there's a version of them that they show you in public. And you know that they're different behind the scenes.
Oh,
they're not going to be like that.
Well,
but Amorim just bears his heart and soul out, but does it in a way that it's not like, it doesn't seem to be the be-all and end-all for him, that it's not going to destroy his life. Because he says, you know, with a smile, and there's kind of a sense to him like, you know, it's only a game of football. But at the same time, like, they're appalling.
Yeah, well, they've just signed Cunha.
He talks about them like a guy who's recently left the club.
Dalap is on his way, it looks like.
Yeah.
Was that back on? I thought he was going elsewhere.
I don't know. I think there's he's got to make a decision about whether or not he wants to join the shit show at the Fuck Factory.
It'll be very interesting. Like, I suppose the beauty of it now is the situation is that it's kind of like he has now the, I suppose, money, notwithstanding or whatever. Like, it's as perfect a situation now for him to either implement what he talks about or flame out. So he's like, you know, he's talking about not having the Champions League, like, and there is a certain sense to that. Like, so now they'll have more or less, certainly for the first half of the season, they'll be going week by week.
I do wonder, will there be slightly less attention on them next season just because there's no European football, so we're just going to see them less. And there'll be more prominent teams playing in Europe. There's loads of Premier League sides playing in Europe next season as well.
Yeah.
Loads.
Yeah, so it's like, a great opportunity. Breaking news. Bobby Dwyer has done a 180 on Ange. Could be reactionary and emotional, but it's what football is all about. Give him until Christmas. See how he gets on. If we can have a few months without injuries.
It's a Man United thing from 12 months ago at Ten Hag.
Oh, Simpsons did it. And
Ten Hag was doing better. It's like Ten Hag was...
I can't believe it. I speak to other Spurs fans in my life, in work. And people are like, oh yeah, maybe, yeah.
They've lost 20 odd games.
I know, but sure.
But sure, who cares?
Next season's a different season. That season's over. It's in the books.
I just love
you don't that carry that over.
I loved that they got absolutely hammered last night of season two. Just got destroyed by Brighton. Like,
well, they had been like, entirely on the piss.
Oh, whatever.
2 minutes past eight, off the wall breakfast. Is with UPMC Orthopaedic Care, when things don't move, rotate, or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action. We will do the cash machine.
Off the ball breakfast.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate, or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action. League of Ireland Late Night. In partnership with Rockshore on Off the Ball.
Well, if Daniel Kelly won that header, you clipped that and you saved that in the Shelbourne folklore.
League of Ireland Late Night. Live every Friday from 10 on Twitter Spaces.